We would like to thank Karen and Jake Ablevitz for sponsoring this morning's Pirkei Avos Lox and Learn, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Aliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have an Aliyah. We are in the midst of the seventh mishnah of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos. This is going to be the third and final shir on that mishnah. The main topic we've been talking about is exploring various traits of a wise person and inferring the traits of a golem, translated here as a clod. We have elaborated on that according to the mefarshim that we are going with. It is somebody who has some elements of wisdom, some elements of character, but he is not fully formed, not fully developed. So we have gone through the first five of the seven in detail. Today we will finish off the last two and then take a step back and look a little bit at the big picture of this mishnah, looking for any patterns or big takeaway ideas from the seven. So the last two are, if you scroll down to your, I'm scrolling down here. If you printed out the sheets, you can look at them as you printed them out. We are up to part seven. Va'al ma shelo shama omer lo shamati. What you have not heard, you say, I have not heard. So what's the message? What's the meaning of this statement? So Rashi takes an interesting view of this that brings us back in our memories to a previous mishnah that we have dealt with. And let's look at Rashi. Omer lo shamati she'eno rotze lomar b'shem she'eno omro. I don't want to say something that wasn't said in the name of somebody else previously. Kedamrin, and he says it more clearly and explicitly here in terms of what he quotes. Ha'omer davar shelo shama mirabo gorem l'shchina she'tistalik miyisrael. Somebody who says something that's not in the name of his teacher causes the divine presence to leave Israel. The message seems to be that the only thing that's appropriate to say is something that you have heard in a tradition from your teacher. We should not be creating thoughts on our own, interpreting things on our own. Everything should be based on a tradition. Now, for extra credit, let's see if anybody remembers. This takes us back a few years ago. Does anybody remember who we saw this about? I'll give you hints if you need. It was a debate about two of the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We compare and contrast their different styles. And the styles, the main contrast that we had, that we debated, were you able to think creatively, yeah, Freda?
One was compared to a boros mesuyad, a pit that was lined, and the other, I can't remember, but that was the Mishnah with their learning styles.
Good. So there was Mayan HaMiskaber and Bor Sud She'eno Ma'abed Tipa. So the Bor Sud She'eno Ma'abed Tipa was Rebbe Eliezer. And Rebbe Eliezer, we learned that part of that metaphor of being a cistern that doesn't leak was that he took in all of the teachings of his Rebbe, and he didn't say anything on his own. And we discussed that in great depth when we spoke about it then. So I refer you back to those shiurim that are on Wayu Torah if you want to explore that more. But Rashi is taking us back to that. When it says, Al mashalo shama omer lo shamati, he's interpreting it that if I didn't hear this, I will not say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to give my own opinion unless that opinion is rooted in something that one of my teachers have taught me. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the second source here, takes it in a similar direction, but less extreme, less intense. Right? Because if you do take that extreme vision, I mean, that calls into question, if we follow that straight up, calls into question most of our learning styles nowadays and our pedagogical techniques that we use in the classroom, student-centered learning, trying to get the students to say things on their own. We're not just filling students up with information. You know, they're the blank slate that we inform them everything comes from us. We try to get the students to be able to input their own personalities, their own intelligence into the learning process. So that's not, if we go with this first source, that's not exactly how we envision learning. Rabbeinu Yonah here again goes in a similar direction but a little bit less intense, says as follows, Va'mashalo shama omer lo shamati, mashalo shama mi pirabo omer lo shamati mi rabosai. So if I didn't hear it from my Rebbe, I say I did not hear this from my Rebbe. So it's not that I don't say it if I didn't hear it from my Rebbe. It's that I say explicitly that what I'm saying now is not from my teacher. Vim yesh alav sfara bedavar omer. About kach yirali. If you have your own opinion, your own logic, your own analysis, say, this is my opinion. This is what I think. So the concern was that if I just talk and I'm saying things, that people are going to assume that I'm saying it because I heard it from my teacher. So if I want to break off from that, not that I can't break off from that, not that I can't say my own idea, but if I'm going to say my own idea, I must state explicitly, this is my opinion. Kach yirali. And this apparently was something that a golem wasn't able to do. Only a chacham can do this, can be able to specifically state things he's heard versus things he's heard from his teacher. So that's trait number 7 according to the Rambam. The Me'iri elaborates a little more and says, Vashisha shamashalo shama omelo shamati kilomar da afal pishi yesh biyado lahashiv ba misvaraso mikol makom eno rotze lomar kiblu daiti elo omer lahem shalo kibel davar mirabo vimishoali macharka chalsvaraso omer lahem daito vim yasu kirtsonam. So the Me'iri is saying that you have an out if you have an argument. What's your out if you have an argument? Well, my teacher said this. Well, if your teacher said it, right, you're arguing with a friend, with a peer. This is what my teacher said. So that can help you win the argument. So obviously, the Miri is saying, if you didn't hear your teacher say that, you can't pull that card. You can't say, I heard this from my teacher, so therefore you should listen to me. Rather, you have to be able to have the courage and the confidence to put your opinion up to debate, up to being criticized, and having it judged based on its own merit, not based on any tradition or any extra added factor that might come from the fact that you brought it from your teacher. So don't use your teacher as a card to be able to bolster your point. Your point is your point. It has to be debated on merits. Don't call your teacher into this if it has nothing to do with your teacher. And then finally, the Rambam, in the last source in part 7, the lo yis yamer bamesh enu yodea. Don't pretend if you don't know, just say you don't know. Vu omer omer lo shamati. If you don't know what it is, don't start hypothesizing and theorizing and you know, starting a conversation, not knowing what you're talking about, pretending that you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk. Don't say it. Because we have a few different perspectives here in terms of what the message of this part of the Mishnah is. The main point is, don't say things that you don't know. Don't say things in the name of your teacher if they're not in the name of your teacher. And if you are going to say something that's on your own, make sure you explicitly state that so that people don't falsely assume that you're saying what your teacher said. Finally, yes, Freda.
I don't remember where we learned this, as our group, my group, but we learned that if you say something and you do not ascribe it to the person who said, that when you do quotes, you have to be very careful, you know, like, to, because there's a problem if you don't. I don't remember if it's what the... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so if you say something in the name of the person who said it, you bring geula to the world. You bring redemption. So you're saying it in the name of the person who said it. That's something we want to be done. So that's not exactly what we're talking about. It's definitely related, because what we're saying is that you're saying something on your own, And when you say something on your own, you want to make sure that it's clear that you're saying that on your own and you're not quoting it from somebody. But if you were saying something that you heard from somebody else, you must attribute that source. Right? That's the count. That's another message that's important to bring out. That I, when I say something from somebody else, I don't just plagiarize. I don't just steal it. And I make sure it's clear that this is what I heard from this and that person. Okay? Good point.
Thank you.
Finally, last message of the Mishnah. Mode al ha'emes. To admit the truth. Admitting the truth, obviously, is something that we, on a just a basic level, would be something that we would encourage and something that we wouldn't like to promote lying. So what's the deeper message of this? What do the Mefarshim have to say about admitting to the truth? So the Rambam here, the lo tieh bo ikshus, ela kasher yishma ha'emes yikablo. So when you hear, when you sort of like you're in an argument and you realize that there's a weakness in your argument, you have two choices, right? You can double down and be stubborn and try to prove your point, even though in your mind you're probably wrong. But the good news is that you're not sure the other person will realize that you're wrong. So you can continue arguing and debating. Or when you realize you're wrong, accept it. The MS is, I am wrong. I'm such a great debater that I can get myself out of this argument. I could win this argument even though I know I'm wrong. That's not good. That's what modala MS means. So modala MS means not just that if I'm wrong and I'm clearly wrong, I say I'm wrong, but even if I know I'm wrong, but I can get out of it somehow, don't get out of it. Admit that you're wrong. That's the best way to have at least an intellectual argument. I would argue that the same is true when it comes to relationships. Just admit you're wrong and move forward. Rashi says, the eino bosh bekach im chozer mimasha haya omer tos vilchulfeim begolem. So the Rashi adds an element here. It's pretty much implicit in the Rambam. But don't be embarrassed. It's not something to shy away from, to say, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed that I'm wrong. There's some actual pride that you might want to take in the fact that you're willing to say, I made a mistake, I am wrong, my argument doesn't hold up, your points are stronger than my points at this point in time, and I'm not embarrassed to admit that. Rabbeinu Yonah adds, Umodal emes gam ki yachkam leida lahashiv mirov taunosa, like the Rambam, I can answer you, I have so many different responses. I can debate you and disprove you. Don't do that unless you know you're right. Right. This goes back to what we started off with either last week or 2 weeks ago. It's not about winning. Right. It's not about being right. And part of what the golem in this Mishnah is doing is trying to be right, and the wise person is not concerned with being the golem's trying to win, want to win debates. Part of what the wise person is doing is that it's not about debating, it's not about me proving myself, it's not me about showing off, it's not about me interrupting to get my opinion in. There's character, there's truth that we're trying to get to, and it's not about me. And he adds, v'kavod hu elav. It's actually honor, not it's the positive framing of Rashi. Rashi says, eino bosh, don't be embarrassed. Binyona says it's actually honor to admit that you don't know or you made a mistake. Hu mida na mikubelas. V'golem lo yachsho bezeva davar hu elav lebizayon kshu minutzach. But the golem's perspective is that I should be ashamed and embarrassed for being wrong. We want to change our perspective, that our emotional reaction to being wrong is different. If our emotional reaction to being wrong, to being criticized, to being shown that you are incorrect, is embarrassed, disgraced, thrown down, and therefore I have to get defensive, that's not appropriate character. The appropriate character is you make a mistake, you admit it. There's a famous story of Rav Soloveitchik that he was once in the middle of a shir And it was going through a whole convoluted explanation of some Gemara and Rishonim, and he had his theory, and he was his shiurim used to be 2-3 hours long. And in the middle of the shiur, at the end of the shiur, I don't know the exact timing, so a student asked a question. And a lot of times students ask questions, and he was able to refute them pretty quickly, a very sharp intellect. But for this question, he wasn't able to answer, and he was wrong. The student's question basically threw off the entire shiur. So he closed the book and said, you're right, I'm wrong. That's the end of this. He's not gonna try to debate him and try to save face and try to prove that he's right. He's wrong. Student was right. That's the end of the story. So that's the message of admitting the truth according to Rabbeinu Yonah. One more, and then Rabbi Shiloni will get to your point. One more, I think. Actually, you'll go first. Then I'll do the Medrash Shmuel.
No, something completely different. The word "modeh" has two meanings. One is admit, and one is thank. Thank you. If I hear from that, nobody says that. If somebody says I said something, and my opponent said something, and I really appreciate it, it's nice. I say thank you for setting me straight. So I didn't know, and I'm really thank you.
Okay, so
thank you for teaching me the truth.
That's an added level. Not only am I not embarrassed, I am grateful and I'm gracious about the fact that he stirred me in the right, or she stirred me in the right direction. Beautiful segue. I'm glad I asked you to speak now and not after the next source, because look at the next source. Medrash Shmuel quotes, V'harav Rebbe Yisrael Kasav, ki bimoda al ha'emes, nichlo gam ha'makir l'misha heitivo, Bein shalomdo chachma o shiiten lo matanos va'asa lo tova hana. That included in moda, admitting the truth, is to be makir tov, to have gratitude towards somebody who did something nice to you. Umakir ze umodelo, we admit, we're able to recognize and tell people you did something nice for me. But Omer lo ata sita imadi chesed ba'emes. Bekama tovos ve'iskaltani ve'gamaltani ve'lematani. You did all of these beautiful things for me. Zen nikra moda ala emes. That's included in admitting the truth. Ve'chilufeyem begolem. And the golem is the opposite. So what's the opposite of this? V'hu kafui tova. He's not able to recognize the gratitude, not able to have the gratitude. He's ungrateful for what people do for him. He doesn't want to be indebted. And the truth is, I like to speak about gratitude, one of the biggest impediments to being grateful, because at the end of the day, what's the big deal? So just be grateful. If it's so great for me, if it's so great for my relationships, what's the impediment to being grateful? Well, one of the biggest impediments to being grateful, even if we're not aware of it, is a sense of indebtedness. When I admit that you are important to me, or that I rely on you, there's a lack of self-sufficiency, and it also might create this cycle of, now I got to pay you back, and now, so I might just either consciously or subconsciously ignore the fact that I am indebted to you and that I have to thank you. But part of being modal emes, according to Rabbi Yisrael, quoted here in the Medrash Shmuel, is that I need to be grateful. I need to admit when I am totally reliant on somebody else, or even partially reliant on somebody else. That's part of being a wise person. Gratitude, that character trait, is part of being wise. And the flip is part of being a golem. So you see here that the golem and the chacham are opposites, not just in terms of intellect, but also in terms of character. So that's our seven, right? So it took us 3 weeks. Yes, awesome, awesome, Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so we had seven. Now our goal is we're going to reread the seven, and what I want us to do is the next section of this is going to be looking at the commentaries that look at patterns within the Mishnah. any sort of patterns. Use your creativity. Use your deep thinking skills. How can I break this Mishnah into various different ways? Do I see a pattern across seven? Can I break them into different categories? Anything goes. So let's reread the seven. Number one, does not speak before one who is greater than he in wisdom. Number two, does not break into his fellow's speech. So if somebody's talking, my friend's talking, I'm not going to interrupt him. Number three, is not hasty to answer. Thinks before he speaks. Number four, he asks what is relevant and he answers to the point. Okay, so everything's on topic. Number five, he speaks of the first point first and the last point last. Okay, so there's an order to what I'm saying. Number six, concerning that which he has not heard, he says, I have not heard. So we did today. And number seven, he acknowledges the truth. Those are the seven. We'll give everybody 30 seconds to think. Or a minute if you want.
But what's the question?
Is there, if you had to say, meaning are these just seven random things that happen to be what a chacham does versus what a golem does? Or is there a pattern? Is there a unifying statement that we can make about all seven of these? Or are they broken down into different categories? Two categories, three categories? Again, it's a hard question. We'd have to really sit and probably sit for 20, 30 minutes to try to get to a full answer. And even then it might be difficult. But this is what we're going to be doing for... we're going to look at the commentaries who deal with this big picture question.
I have two possibilities.
Let's hear it.
Okay. You said anything goes, so I'm
in theory, doing that. But yeah.
Okay, so the first two use the word medaber, like divrei, medaber, and then divrei. And then the next two use lahashiv. And then you have rishon, and then... The last two to me seem like more like listening to rather than, you know, accepting the other guy. So I see it as being a little different. But then there's another way to look at it. The first one and the last one, sort of like a chiastic structure, only because I was listening to something else this morning. I know Minadber, his name is Shu Gadol, Umaldal Hamet, as though there's something greater than I am. And accepting that, and then Eino nichnas l'toch divrei chaveiro v'alma shelo shama, as though I don't interrupt and I don't say things I don't know. So I see that as a kind of separate thing. Eino nivhal l'hashiv, and omer rishon rishon ba'al acharon acharon. You are saying something, so you're answering something, and then. So this morning when I listened to something else, they said the middle one is the most important one. So in that sense, maybe this one is the most important piece. That's a different way to look at it.
Okay, so Joyce, one second. Joyce, just for those who don't know what a chiastic structure is when you look at a series of things and look for a pattern. Could be different types of chiasms, but here what Dr. Fruchter is suggesting is that 1 and 7 line up, 2 and 6 line up, 3 and 5 line up, and then 4, which is the central one, is the sort of the epicenter with the most, the most importance. So I encourage you, I think that it's a good way to go. It needs a lot of thought and elaboration, so we'll have homework to do to be able to... to see how it plays out. Definitely a creative way of going to look at that type of pattern. Okay, good. Next. Yes.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay. I see as a teacher that this is something you want to teach your students, because especially if you teach young children, they're always interrupting They say the first thing that comes into mind. So I see this as a way of almost like a curriculum for a teacher.
Okay, good.
Also, this, I think, helps us not speak Lashon Hara because we're saying only what's necessary and we're not adding. And it teaches a very good point that a lot of people lack, myself included at times, of filtering. Just because we have a thought doesn't mean we have to say it. We have to like filter it through and sift it through like when we're baking. That's it.
Okay, good. So definitely adding a teaching element here is important, and that has been a recurring theme. I would elaborate on what you just said for a moment and say that there perhaps this might help us go further in the analysis, is that there's a developmental picture here, meaning we could be looking at it as, you know, here's two adults. One is a golem and one is a chacham, but perhaps it's more of a development of this is something that I need to work on, maybe as starting as a child or be trained as a child, and then over time develop into the chacham rather than just a description of two types of people. It might be a progression, a development of one to the next. Okay, so that I think that comes out from what you're saying. Okay, Pola.
One, in my opinion, 1, 2, and 3 fall in one category, 4 and 5 in another, and 6 and 7 in a third category.
Okay, let's hear it. Do you know
the first three?
Yeah.
Is in one category.
Okay, what's the category?
About not speaking out of turn.
Okay, good.
Then the next two is first and the last one is to be relevant, not to speak just for the sake of speaking. And the last two is be truthful.
Okay, good. So you could in 7, we're breaking it. We're saying that it's really three themes. There's not interrupting. There's being on point, relevant, and then there's being truthful. Okay,
yeah.
Good. I like it. So we could break the 7 down into 3. Let me ask you. We'll see the sources in a second. Let me ask you one more question. When you think about what it means to be wise, Is this it? Meaning there are 7 characteristics of a wise person. These are the 7. There's nothing else that's entailed in being wise. I think the answer is obviously not, right? There are other things, presumably, that wise people have. The question then becomes, what am I doing? What is this list of 7? It's not just these are the 7 wise things. 7 things wise people do, because wise people do more than those 7. So that might help us with understanding a little bit of a deeper point of where this Mishnah is going. It's not just listing characteristics of wise people. It's a specific type of wisdom of the wise person that we're talking about. Let me ask you one more question now. If I were to ask you as a teacher, as an educator, as a parent, as whatever, or as just a human being, wisdom, first thing that pops up in your mind, what are you thinking about? So when I conjure up Chacham, okay, Freda, what do you got?
So the truth is, and I know it's the wrong answer, is when you hear of a wise person, you think of somebody who knows a lot. But knowledge and wisdom are not the same.
So you,
and wisdom is the wisdom to use the knowledge. And maybe, you know, it's the old thing about teaching that, you know, people can be brilliant and terrible teachers. And you can be a wonderful teacher, even if you don't really know that much, but you're good at giving over what you know. So wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge. And all of these things are helpful in your relationships with others, whether it's as the teacher or the friend or the parent. they're more relationship issues than anything else.
Okay, excellent. Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to bring out. That you have here seven things. When I think about chacham, I'm thinking intelligence, maybe amassed knowledge, not just amassed knowledge, maybe ability to use that knowledge. It could be practically too. So a little bit different than what you're saying. I mean, it could be I can use my knowledge practically, you know, be able to solve equations, to be able to fight global warming, or I don't know, whatever. Meaning I could use it for a practical purpose. But what this Mishnah is saying is that intelligence, or chacham, is not about knowledge or even using that knowledge. It's about how you interact with others.
Exactly.
In the context of knowledge. It's all, every one of these seven has nothing to do, because again, I picture a chacham, I'm thinking somebody sitting and learning. Has his books open, her books open, writing notes, thinking, spends hours in the library. Wow, that's a really big chacham. Nothing about that is here. Everything is in the context of how you interact with others in the realm of knowledge. And that's super important to realize.
Could I answer that?
Quickly, yeah.
I see the character traits like patience, reflective listening, good manners, honesty, being respectful. Things that we want to have is along with all the other things.
Right, exactly. Character traits, and specifically character traits that are social character traits. Right, it has to do with the other.
I wonder why they call him Chacham. Is a Talmid Chacham, somebody who wants to learn, either from his Rabbanim, or from his Chavirim, or from anybody. So a good listener, a good learner, that's Chacham, that's Talmid Chacham. We don't say Chacham, we say Talmid Chacham. On the other hand, Golem is one that wants to talk, and he's not a good listener. He doesn't want to learn.
Right.
He thinks that he knows it already.
Right, he wants to just say his opinion over. Right, correct. So your point about the Talmid Chacham, we quoted that when we did 4:1 in Perkei Avos Ezu, Chacham Halomed Mi Kol Adam. So that was a point that the Medrash Shmuel made, that we use the term Talmid Chacham because we're always learning. We always want it to grow. But that being said, in Chazal, you often find them use just the word straight up Chacham, without Talmid Chacham. They use both interchangeably, but the point of being that there's a growth aspect here, the wanting to learn, wanting to get to the truth, and not wanting to be right, could be another way to frame this whole Mishnah, is that the Chacham wants to learn, wants to find out the truth, but the Golem wants to win, wants to prove his ego, and make everybody respect him. So that's, and counterintuitively, or again, I guess intuitively, but against his or her goals, that will actually lead to less people respecting them. Okay, great. So let's see some of the sources. Pirkei Moshe, here we saw this at some point, I think in the first or second shir, says that these categories, these seven, can be broken down into categories of interaction with, depends on who you are interacting with. Depends on the social hierarchy. Right, so he says the seven here are Hasidar Nachon Etzli, who Shabir Rosh HaMashalim B'chachma B'chol Eza Min HaChachma Shetia. There's wisdom in all social hierarchical realms. Mitzad Hanagaso HaRu'uya Lo Im Misha Gadol Imenu. There's how do I relate to somebody who's greater than me, like my teacher, Vim Hashavalo, somebody who's a colleague, a peer on the same level as me, and as well as Mishakatan Rimenu, somebody like a student. So if you go through the seven, and this is what he does, he'll tell you which category of these three is it referring to. How do I interact with a teacher? How do I interact with a peer? How do I interact with a student? And I'll leave you guys for homework to be, you know, go through and see which ones which one's which, but that's how he looks at these, that these seven, how he categorizes them. The Rambam, I believe we alluded to this as well, we didn't see it inside, says that there are seven traits, seven ma'alos of the Chacham, like the Mishnah says, and he says that they're broken down into two categories. What are these two categories? Arba ma'alos midos, four are character traits. Vishalosh hamailos hasichlios, three are intelligence traits. So he goes through and he says which four he thinks are related to character and which are related to intelligence. And this goes back to the Rambam's main thesis from the beginning, is that a chacham is somebody who has both character as well as intellect, and the golem is somebody who's has some character and some intellect, but it's not perfected. So the Mishnah splits in between these two types of meta traits, character and intellect. And we argue that you could look at all seven as being character related. The Rambam does it a little bit differently. Again, for the sake of time, we're not going to go through exactly how he does it, but just know that that's how the Rambam breaks down the categories. If you want for homework, you can look at these seven to figure out which ones are which. I believe actually the Rambam is, most of the Rambams are translated if you go to sefaria.org. Now, the Maharal, Derech Chaim. So the Maharal here does something which I think is fascinating. Again, to go through it in detail to see how it works through all seven would take some time and some fancy footwork, as it were. But he has a thesis that all seven are related to one concept. And what's that concept? So let's read a little bit inside. Perish elu shiva dvarim shenemer b'golem v'shiva b'chacham. Tchilo yeshech haladas ki kol hashiva mido shenemer kan sheyesh al haseichel haynu she'enu yotze min haseder haro'oi Masha Hadas Mechayev. He says all seven have to do with Seder, with order, with the way things are supposed to be. The Seichel, our intelligence, and all these concepts are loaded within Maharal's terminology. Each one means something more specific than the way we're translating it. The Maharal's terminology is very, it's very loaded, very specific of what he means. So we're sort of brushing on top of that a little bit, not going into the depth of the Maharal here. But a big picture is that everything has to do with order. Haseichel mishar kol advarim u'magbil otam, v'yotzei min haseder haroi, ein safek sheyotzei min haseichel, ki haseder hu etzem haseichel. Having an ordered thought process is what seichel is. Once you're not ordered anymore, you are no longer wise. Therefore, lefichach kol inyan hachacham umido shelo mishuar umesudar. A wise person is very thought out, careful, knows what he's talking about, is intentional. It's probably a good word. Lachach amar chacham eino medaber b'fnei mishagaldim. And then he goes through all seven. I don't speak in front of my teacher. Again, we spoke nuances about what that means, but there's an order here. There's a teacher, there's a student, and I'm following the order. I'm not breaking boundaries, not going out of order, not breaking barriers. I'm following what the order is. And he goes through all seven to show you how they all have to do with order. Again, nice homework assignment to go see how those fit in. But I don't want to spend too much time on it. I want to focus on these last three sources. So the Chaste Avos points out something that we skipped over. Perhaps you like the question, perhaps you don't, but if you go back to the Mishnah, something strange happens. The Mishnah starts off by saying there's seven things with a golem and seven things with a wise person. Then it tells you the seven things of a wise person and says the opposite is with a golem. So in theory, it didn't have to start off by saying seven things with a golem. It could have just said, seven things with a wise person, here are the seven things, and the opposite is true with a golem. It starts us off with a golem, and then forgets about the golem until the end and says the opposite is with the golem. So just forget the golem in the beginning. Say there's seven traits of a wise person and the opposite is true of a golem. So why do this? Why frame the Mishnah in this way? So that's his basic question here. It's a little bit of hard to read in the script. But I guess take my word for it. That's his question. So he answers, the efshar de dayik hacha lomar hachi. Lashmi'inan de lo asa el lashmi'inan mili de golem el de mishum de tifkar lashon arumim naktinu bechacham. So he says, number one is that the truth is this Mishnah is focused on golem. Meaning the main point of the Mishnah isn't what to be wise necessarily, it's what to stay away from being a golem. It's a matter of perspective, how you spin it. So the real message of the Mishnah is don't be a golem. But it's more proper to frame it with a positive spin. Instead of saying don't do this, it says do this. Be this. It's actually an important pedagogical and psychological point that we use often, is that frame things in terms of the positive expectations and behaviors that you want from somebody, and don't necessarily frame it in don't do this. I think they call it the dead man's rule. If don't frame a behavior in a way that a dead person can do it, because if it's a sort of a passive, stay quiet, well, a dead person could stay quiet too. So instead of saying stay quiet, say, be mindful or take notes, something more active. So that's why it says it in terms of the chacham. But here's the main point. Anam od milo sumidos asher nagu achachamim. Here's his main point, is that there are more, as we pointed out, there's more traits of a wise person. It's not just these seven. This is a limited, it's not an exhaustive list. There's more. Ulahachi lo bani soda hatpea chacham lahoroti karu lashmin on mili de golem. Umandales behachi shiva yikra golem. Val sharmidos chamim baderon lo yikra golem. So he says that there are more things to be a wise person. It's not just enough to have these to be wise. But if you have these, you've at least transcended the golem status. But you still have more work to do. So don't think that this is it. That once you have these seven, you are automatically wise. That's his take on this. For a alternative take, which actually has some intrigue to it, I like it as a message better. I don't know if it fits better in terms of the shot. But the Yaivitz here says that we have a problem. What's our problem? So we stated our seven traits. And it goes back to how do we define, something Freda, you alluded to, how do we define what a chacham is? What does it mean to be wise? Does it mean to be smart, to have a high IQ? So he says, Aval ha'inyan kemo shekatavti b'mayimar ezu chacham, as I alluded to in again, Avos 4:1, ezu chacham, ein royli kara chacham ki imishan ispael meha chachma. It's not worthy of being called wise unless you're somebody who's truly affected emotionally by wisdom. So wisdom's not just about knowledge, it's about our attitude towards knowledge. Kafilu lo ye chacham kolkach, roili kari chacham im yimso bo elu amidos. A very strong point. You can be called a chacham even if you're not totally ingenious, intelligent, but if you have these traits, we're going to call you a chacham. Why? Because sofo l'ischachim b'li safek. You will become intelligent. So the Yaivitz is defining chachma as intelligence, as how much knowledge I have or can use or adept at using my knowledge. That's what it means. But these traits are what get you there. And if you have these traits, even if you're not there yet, we're still going to call you a chacham because you're going to get there. Va'omed lechacham chachacham dami. It's a beautiful statement. Somebody who's on a trajectory towards wisdom is already called wise. Aval. But the flip of this is, what about all the intelligent people who don't have these character traits? Aval. Im chacham kibilam. V'lo pala chachma bo. Hu yodea aval eno chacham. So this is how he frames it. You're a yodeya if you have lots of knowledge, but you don't have the traits, but you're not a chacham. Ukli male tapuchim ein roi shikar tapuach aval cheres hadaryani nikra yain lefisha yain nivlat bo vatana arov yidaber. There are exceptions. There are people who can fake wisdom. There are people who can become wise even without these traits. But for the most part, for most people, the way to become wise is to have these traits. And by having these traits, even if you don't have those wisdom yet, you will get those wisdom. So if you go back to teaching and what we want to frame or try to model or explain to our students, it's not about knowledge. It's about how we relate to knowledge. And it's about building enthusiasm for knowledge. And it's about how we interact with each other in the realm of knowledge. Last source.
So why does the Mishnah start with Shiva Dvarim Begolem?
Yeah. So
why does it start? That's the question.
Yeah. So it's a good question. There are a lot of Mepharshim deal with it. I can send you some sources to look through. There are a lot of people take on that question of why do we start with Golem, switch to Chacham, and then come back to Golem at the end. If you assume there's a deeper meaning and not just some flourishing of poetics, as it were. Sometimes we do that. We start with A, mention B, but then jump off to B and then come back to A. Right, so that's a ABBA chiasm, as it were. Sometimes we do ABAB. You know, we'll start with A, talk about B, you know, introduce A, introduce B, delve into A and delve into B. Here it's ABBA, start with A, introduce B, delve into B, finish off with A. As to why that is, again, there's some written on it. I'll send you some stuff if you're interested in that. Okay. Last Hebrew source, and then I'm going to show you one more cool electronic source. So Tosfos Yontov here says, V'shiva v'chacham chacham eina medaber. Says, L'fisha golem kodem bizman. This sort of answers your question. L'ficha higdim l'shanos shiva dvarim begolem. Okay, so I forgot he alluded to this here. But here's his point. This goes back to the developmental point and the growth point, is that why is the golem first? The golem is first because it comes first developmentally.
Yeah.
We all, on some level, all children, don't have these traits. These are traits that need to be cultivated and learned. So the golem comes first because we are all golems. We all, at some point in our lives, were golems. We didn't know how to interact properly with our peers in the realm of knowledge. And our ego comes out and we want to show off and we don't have the right tools. That's why it starts with Shiva Begolem. But Mikol Makom Bier Amidos Shibachacham Shekein Nal Alos Al Svasayim Yishak Midos Achacham V'Yidias Hafachas Achas. So it starts with Golem because developmentally Golem comes first. And then talks and frames everything in terms of wisdom, chachma, because it's better, it's nicer to talk about wisdom rather than talk about negative things. We want to keep our lips in the positive, framing it that way. And then it flips and says, you know, the opposite for golem. But I really think that I'm going to hammer this point home. I think is a nice point to end with in terms of the primary mefarshim here, is that this is something we learn. It's not just about here's a golem, here's a chacham, and that's the way it is, too bad. It's we all start off as golems, and we need to learn and work on ourselves in order that we could become a chacham. And once we start working on these traits, these are the traits that will bring us to actual wisdom. So if we don't have these traits and we're in a school and we're learning, or we're, you know, for students, fine. But even as adults, if we don't have these traits, we will not be able to learn effectively. We'll not be able to interact with our peers and or our students or our teachers or anybody. And we're not going to learn because we think everything's right. We don't have the right proper character traits to be able to be an active, growth-oriented learner. And I'm going to share with you one, I think, a great resource put together by the Pardes Institute. It's called the Rodef Shalom Communication Agreement. You can get this online. I can send you the link. If you want to be a Rodef Shalom, you want to enter this classroom, as it were, this virtual classroom, you have to sign this contract. I agreed to become a Rodev Shalom, a pursuer of peace, a partner in the effort to transform society by changing the way I communicate with others and deal with conflict. I pledge henceforth to approach differences of opinion with an open and inquiring mind and make every effort to avoid generalizing or demonizing those who disagree with me. I will try to be a force for changing bitter, destructive disagreements to machlokes l'shem shemayim, constructive conflicts for the benefit of all humankind. I therefore choose to accept upon myself the following 7 things. I will feel free to continue to express and allow for others to express different viewpoints in the spirit of machlokas l'shem shemayim, which we'll get to. It's 5:17. Describes the machlokas beis hillel beis shammai. I will express my viewpoints in a thoughtful and respectful manner, keeping in mind the need to avoid hurting or delegitimizing others and their points of view, as the Talmud describes Torah scholars in the land of Israel who treated each other graciously when engaged in debate. I will make I rather than you statements, as Sarah did in her difficult conversations with Abraham when she shared with him her deep feelings of hurt and humiliation from her perspective. I will keep listening, even when it is hard, and will not interrupt others. As the rabbis teach, listen attentively to the words of others and do not be quick to respond. Here they're quoting Derech Eretz Zuta, but that's explicit in our Mishnah as well. Right? Listen, don't respond too quickly. Active listening. I will pass or pass for now if I feel emotionally unable to express myself or continue listening in a respectful and constructive manner. A fence for wisdom is silence. Okay, you don't always have to speak. Sometimes you could pass. You don't have to always share your opinion. And here's our direct connection to our Mishnah. I will be aware of the assumptions I am making, acknowledge the limits of my own knowledge and experience, and be open to admitting that I may sometimes be mistaken. As the Mishnah says, a wise person admits to what he has not heard and admits when he is wrong. Right? Admits the mistake. I haven't heard it. It's a mistake. I don't know. I'm sorry. Admit it. And then finally, I affirm the above principles and will try to practice them in all my interactions with others. I also acknowledge that I might not always succeed in keeping these principles, yet I look forward to being respectfully reminded of my commitment, allowing me, if necessary, to apologize promptly for any hurtful words I may say. As the Talmud says, whoever offends someone else, even through words, must go and reconcile him. They finally quote the Likutei Maharan, Nachum of Breslov, teach me and instruct me how to behave with all people in the world, that I may merit being in peace with all, even those who disagree with me, and so that should merit to always be a lover of peace and pursuer of peace, as it is written, seek peace and pursue it. Okay, so this is a beautiful compilation and agreement put together here by Rabbi Dr. Daniel Roth from the Pardes Center for Judaism and Conflict Resolution. And I think this is something for all of us to consider and to think about, especially in such a climate, whether it's learning Torah. Torah itself can be, you know, different opinions, different hashkafos, different communities approach Torah differently. How do we interact with people who disagree with us? How do we interact with people who have different hashkafos and different ways of approaching Torah? And then for sure, in terms of political discussions and the like, if we can have arguments that have this Rodef Shalom communication agreement, then we'd probably be better off as a society, as a community, as families, as friends, as social media engagers, whatever, you know. This is really important. It's lacking. It's completely lacking. And part of our message of our Mishnah is these are the interpersonal relationships that are essential. The way we interact with others are so important, that is what wisdom is all about. It's the ABCs of wisdom. It's a growth process. We can learn how to do this, but we just need to keep reminding ourselves, either contracting, it's a nice idea, or keep rereading this Mishnah over and over and over again, until we remind ourselves and interact with others and have the humility to be able to follow through on all of these essential messages of the Mishnah. So we will stop here and we will pick up, not next week, right? Next week is Rosh Hashanah, so 2 weeks. We'll pick up with our next Mishnah, and that's it. Okay. Any questions, thoughts, comments, concerns, complaints?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your inspiring share.
Thank you, guys. Okay. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank yes. you.
Perfect
Thank
for
you. Every Rosh Hashanah. Exactly.
Shana Tova.
Okay. Shana Tova.
Yes, Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.